Hi, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. And it's been a chaotic week for Israeli politics, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was indicted on corruption charges just days after his chief rival failed to form a majority coalition in parliament. And now the country's third election in just 12 months is likely. These developments come days after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's announcement that Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank would no longer be considered illegal, reversing 40 years of U.S. policy. And that announcement shows that even as Netanyahu faces political uncertainty in Israel, he still has a close ally in President Trump. Joining us now is Noga Tarnopolsky, a journalist based in Jerusalem who writes for the L.A. Times and the Daily Beast. Noga, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Among many things happening in Israel, Netanyahu has been charged with bribery, fraud, and breach of trust by Israel's attorney general. Can you remind us briefly what the charges stem from?
Yes, they are three cases. One of them is pretty much a simple quid pro quo in language that we've become used to.
Yes.
He's accused of accepting very costly gifts from rich friends in return for doing political favors for them. One of those rich friends is the Israeli-American Hollywood producer Arnon Milchan, who needed help with a visa, and Netanyahu apparently intervened with John Kerry. So there's some American figures involved in that. The other two cases are, I think, the more serious, probably, and they involve his attempts via extortion and regulatory changes and abuse of his public position, according to allegations, in an attempt to get what he would consider more positive media coverage for himself.
Israel has also had two elections, and neither of those have been able to establish a coalition government. There could be a third election. Where does that leave Benny Gantz and his blue and white party?
Well, where does it leave the whole country, right? There could be next elections basically within 3 months. Israel has been without a proper functioning government since Christmas Eve of last year when Netanyahu dispersed the Knesset and announced that there would be elections in April. Since then, he became a caretaker government. I don't know what to tell you. On the one hand, it feels kind of like a disaster. And I'm starting to hear just regular people on the street complaining about how much money is being wasted on these unending electoral campaigns, and also the dysfunction of the government, which many simple citizens feel it when they need, for example, just municipal services, things that, you know, funding isn't coming through because there's no functional government. On the other hand, what we're basically seeing is a country kind of being held hostage to a very powerful prime minister who's been in office for 10 years and who's unwilling to let go. At least two very serious polls have shown that a majority of Israelis believe that Netanyahu, once indicted, should resign. And he's refusing. And by kind of consistently trying to disperse the Knesset, what it means is that there's no other elected prime minister, so he can remain in this limbo state of caretaker prime minister. And what he hopes is that that status will provide him at least with a kind of limited immunity to these charges, or at least allow him to face a more friendly courtroom. But what you're seeing on the one hand is, I think, a wonderful example of democracy where an attorney general was able to stand unafraid and indict on very grave charges the head of government. And there's not a revolt, despite what Netanyahu's saying. And on the other hand, you're seeing a real abuse of that democracy. And so that's the part that seems to me very dangerous.
Turning it back here to the United States, Mike Pompeo has made an announcement here. How much of a departure is it from past U.S. administrations?
It is a huge departure because every other American administration has basically agreed that the U.S. interpretation accepts the international law's definition of what an occupied territory is. And in this case, we're talking about the West Bank, which Israel won in the war of 1967, which is also known as the Six-Day War, from Jordan. And the Palestinians claimed this territory for a future state, and the entire Western world, and officially also the government of Israel, you know, and the laws of Israel see this as occupied territory and disputed territory. But the weird thing I have to say about Pompeo's announcement is that I don't know to what extent we should be taking it seriously or not. Pompeo made an announcement, but the official U.S. position on the State Department website has not changed. State Department spokespeople, when asked on what legal basis the American legal opinion is changing, had no answer. The White House has not confirmed a single word that Pompeo said. So it's really unclear to me, first of all, what effect a change in U.S. position could have on the general international interpretation of the law. But this really is a limbo because it's unclear if Pompeo just spoke because he was in the mood or if this represents an actual policy shift.
And as a result of that, I mean, I'm wondering if that that confusion extends to other countries who are looking to U.S. policy to sort of determine how they approach West Bank settlements.
That may be the case. You know, I think the situation is even more acute because when the United States recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved its embassy, the stated hope was that many countries would follow. And Trump said it many times. Netanyahu said it many times. Fact of the matter is only Guatemala moved its embassy to Jerusalem following the United States. So it hasn't had any effect. And because American policy in this region has become so unpredictable and so unstable, my sense is that other countries are just kind of holding back right now.
Noga, how does that instability bode for future peace talks? I mean, that's also something that we know that Jared Kushner has promised to resolve the issues there in that region. But given all of this instability and confusion, what does that tell us about the possibility for future peace talks?
I don't think there's a current possibility for peace talks, to be honest with you. Among other reasons is that the United States has spoken for 3 years now about a peace plan and no one has ever seen it. The Kushner peace plan, as far as anybody here knows, may exist or may not exist. Yesterday, this Israeli newspaper, Haaretz, published an article. There was an interview with the disgraced head of WeWork, claimed to have assisted Jared Kushner in creating this peace plan that no one has ever seen. And in the same interview, he said that he, Kushner, and the Saudi crown prince Mohammed bin Salman were the guys who were going to change the world. So I would tell you that that's a pretty good indication. I don't think there is a peace plan right now. The Israeli government is in complete disarray. There's no government right now that could, in good faith, negotiate on behalf of Israel. I think I can venture to guess that the U.S. government also has higher priorities right now. The Europeans are completely uninvolved. But I don't want to paint too dark a picture. I think that what this means is that as long as we have the current leaders in place, there is no prospect for any sort of peace negotiations. But the chaos right now is so strange that I'm not sure it'll have any effect on the future. I think if in 2 years there are different leaders all around, there is an absolute possibility of peace talks. I just don't see it right now.
Noga Tarnopolsky is a journalist based in Jerusalem who writes for the Los Angeles Times and the Daily Beast. Noga, thanks so much for your reporting.
Thank you.